Titan is only as mighty as a pilot inside her.
Let's go!
Sit on your truth, still I'm becoming a whore. A little black is collateral that I can afford. I'll treat you like an itch that I'm gonna ignore. Don't play with fire if you don't wanna get scored. I'll pour my gun, I'll have my fun with the sword. I see you running on walls, but I'm running the war. I tell you what, double jumping is more. The quicker to retreat, so I don't punish you more. I got my power, it's within my core. I'm following your charm, this ain't giving it more.
You're the muscle, I'm the brains. If I need to hustle, you can take the reins. Y'all better run for cover when I get in my mask. Unless you wanna see the wreckage, and I'm missing it.
It's episode 247, that's 247 of the Kaiju Podcast. Welcome one and all, I am your host, Chad O'Brien. Today we've got everyone gathered around the campfire to tell their stories of woe and bliss and whatever other feelings may be mixed between them. Over there we have Jason Gibson.
Hey yo.
Roasting some marshmallows, and we've got Chris Charlton.
I'm so bored.
Tending to the campfire.
Lost as usual.
That's right. What do you do in summer? You go camping. I'm trying to create an atmosphere here.
You go to the beach, Chad.
No.
You go play in the park, Chad.
No, nobody goes to the beach.
You stay inside because it's raining.
That is one thing that you do.
The thing that I used to do when I was a kid. Camping in summer is... Summer camp is a peculiar American institution, is it not?
No, I think he meant like go sleep outside in a tent camping.
No, I see.
I actually meant camping, but just Chris is being very quiet, and I feel we should at the very least mention that
I'm being soft, because I'm the only adult in my house, so I have to listen.
Yeah.
To the kids, in case they wake up while they're away. So my wife has departed for the evening. You know what she's doing? She has gone to stalk the cast of Full House.
Like, the real Full House? Like, John Stamos Full House?
Not Fuller House, right? Just Full House.
Well, Fuller House. I think they're shooting in Roppongi, I think.
Okay. I just figured we needed to bring that up because it is very obvious that you're being much more quiet than usual, and you're a pretty quiet guy to begin with, so it was noteworthy. But you never went camping then, Chris?
No.
Have you met Chris?
No.
Does he seem like the kind of guy who would ever go outdoors?
Do I seem like the type of guy who would go outdoors? But when I was a child, like, I went to summer camp every year, every single year.
Doesn't count. That's not camping.
Yeah,
camping is like you go with your dad into the woods for like 3 days and just like hang out.
I am also talking about summer camp because that was where I had my campfires. So, yeah, I was in the Boy Scouts. Well, not Boy Scouts. I was in Campfire Kids. So,
knockoff Boy Scouts.
That's right, the knockoff Boy Scouts.
cheaper in it.
Yeah, and I was the best at selling our goods every year. So, I got all them badges. And the kids version of that, because you have the older version, like the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts, Campfire Kids, you got the Campfire Kids and the Weebelows. And then I grew up and I heard the term Weeaboo and I was like, wow, that sounds a lot like Weebelows. And like, that's a weird, weird word to sound like. But,
wait, that sounds familiar. Was the insignia of the Weebelows like a fleur-de-lis?
Yes, it was. Well, I mean, that's just Campfire Kids, but yeah.
I have heard of the Weebelows, but I hadn't heard of the other thing.
Yeah, the Weebelow Scouts are the super junior types.
These days, you get your achievements and your trophies instead of badges, don't you?
That's right.
That's where you got it from.
And back in the 70s, mm-hmm. if you got a high score at the game, you'd take a picture of it with your camera, and then Atari would send you a badge.
Oh.
You would, of the different games you would collect.
I think I've heard of things like that. And of course, there were all the arcades back then. You could get your tickets for your good games, or there were actual challenges like Pac-Man and King Kong, not King Kong. Donkey Kong.
Rampage
was good. Rampage.
Are you denigrating Donkey Kong?
I'd say Rampage is better.
But Rampage also did not have King Kong. I forget the monkey's name in that, or the ape's name.
George.
Is it George?
Izzy George.
It was Lizzie. Lizzie is the...
Lizzie was the lizard.
Lizzie is the lizard, obviously.
Yeah. But, I'm saying it's not Izzy. It was Lizzie. Is what I'm saying. Mm. The ape was George then. I don't know. And then there was a wolf, right?
Ralph
was the wolf. Yep. And they're making a live action movie out of that, starring The Rock.
Because of course they are.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they actually making it, or is it just optioned? Shit gets optioned all the time.
I believe it's actually being made. I could be wrong.
The one thing they are making is fucking Ready Player One, which is absolute portion.
Done, isn't it?
Huh?
It's in post, but about to be released pretty soon, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Jumanji 2 is going to be focused on video games instead of the board game like Jumanji was.
Wasn't Zathura Jumanji 2, basically?
I'm sorry?
Zathura, the space one. It was like the same thing, but with like in space.
Dude, that was not even related.
Yeah, it was. It's a whole book series by the same author. Like, he did different versions of it. Zathura was like the space one instead of the jungle one.
Okay, well then, they were completely like different styles of movie though. But they
were both. You play a magic board game that takes you to the place about the board game.
Okay, right? But Jumanji 2 is actually a video game.
All right, fair enough.
And it turns out like a Breakfast Club thing. Four little, you know, these guys would never get together, but now they're all in detention. Ooh, what's gonna happen? So you got the jock, the nerd, the cheerleader, and the like outcast girl all like turn on this old video game. They're like, what's this? Let's choose our character. And they each pick one, and then suddenly they're dragged in, and like, the super geeky guy suddenly becomes like, he's The Rock. I believe it's also The Rock in that one. So, he's like,
is this the one where the girl gets in like the skimpy outfit and then she's like, why the fuck would I be wearing this? I'm in the jungle.
Yeah, that's the outfit. That's the outcast girl.
Okay. I have seen the trailer for that.
And then the hot girl becomes Jack Black. Yeah.
In the late news, everything is terrible.
That's
you know what's going to make it even.
Everything is.
You know what's going to make it even even more terrible, Chris? There's going to be a CG Robin Williams.
Oh
no, really?
No. There's not.
I was going to say, like, just, you know, we'll get Kim Jong Un on the phone and can drop the nukes now.
It's the end of the world as we know it. But right. In the meantime, let's talk about some pretty horrible things in actual video games going on. Well, one that's not quite so bad, but one I think we can all agree is the bane of modern consumer gaming is microtransactions. Microtransactions are making a huge appearance in the Middle Earth Shadow series. So, Shadow of Mordor came out a couple years ago. Great. It was amazing. Shadow of War is coming out in October, I believe. Yes, October 10th. So exactly 2 months from today. And it is, apparently gonna have microtransactions all the way from the beginning of the game for a completely single player game.
Yeah, how's that going to work? Are you just, it's like pay for cheats, basically?
Pretty much. So let's talk about this like just from the horse's mouth. So there's going to be a couple of different chests, basically, you know, read loot crate. So you have loot chests, war chests, and XP boosts, along with bundles that mix all the three together. So Monolith is the developer. They say loot chests contain gear, which are weapons and armor of varying rarity. Equipping and upgrading these weapons and armor enhance Talion's character abilities. Loot chests can also contain XP boosts that help level up Talion faster. War chests provide orc followers of varying rarity to help forge a strong army. They can also contain training orders to level up and customize orc followers. So you get both of those going on, and they can be purchased with either, there are two forms of currency in the game. There's going to be Mirian and gold. Mirian was in the first game, but it was mostly used to purchase upgrades for your skills, better archery, better riding, taming, whatever. But, that's going to be an actual kind of currency, how you buy these, buy new equipment in the game, along with gold, which can only be earned by doing special community quests, which are going to be online kind of focused, just daily challenges kind of thing, or maybe weekly, I don't know. There are going to be challenges, but, then you can also buy gold with real money, and, they will allow you, gold will allow you to buy the chests much faster, which will allow you to thus get more gear or better gear also faster. So, you'll be able to presumably complete the game a lot faster or, at least have a much easier time with it.
So there's no real like push to get like to actually spend money, then it's just like speeds up the process.
That's
like
true.
Anything you can get with real money, you can get without spending real money. Just takes longer.
Yes. Yes. They've said
the model of free to play, though, isn't it? Like that is the defense of free to play. It's like you're always going to get this stuff. It's just that it takes longer.
But this is not a free to play game.
Is that this isn't free to play, right? So I was going to say, Chad, it's all right. I don't have a problem with it. Like that saving's going to be passed to the consumer, right? This is going to be a $30 game, yeah?
Oh, you sad, naive boy.
Yeah.
It's in principle, like to play devil's advocate to it, is that somebody like me is busy, right? And doesn't have the time to play like an 80-hour game, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like about 30 hours into Breath of the Wild, and I haven't touched it for ages because I just haven't had the time, right? So a game that kind of a system that kind of cuts through that, make things a little bit easier for me, gives me better gear faster, allows me to level up faster. I'm fine with that. But the problem is, like, always up until now, there's always been that in most video games, and it's called like the easy difficulty setting. Right. So like gating easy difficulty mode behind like not just one microtransaction, but several, is extremely, decidedly gross, you know.
Exactly. There's nothing saying that this won't be added in addition to like the in-game, systems like easy mode. But, this certainly isn't something that's completely new. We've had this, I think the biggest single player game, within the past several years to have this, was Dead Space 3. They announced.
Dead Space 3 did not do very well, though.
No, it did not.
There's a lesson to be learned there. But also, like, it's been a thing in sports games for quite a long time as well. Yeah, and I'm not talking about FIFA Ultimate Team is like, yeah, that's a different kind of fucking thing. But just like the single player franchises or whatever, like the NBA 2Ks, The WWE games have them as well, like these, you know, these boosters. Because, but I mean, like the thing is, I can't speak to the NBA and to the NBA games, but like the WWE games were structured in such a way that, you know, the career mode in those games was, presumably still is, fucking terrible. In a, because it goes so fucking slowly. So I mean, it is almost like the game is designed, structured in such a way that, you know, you want to buy more, you know, with these microtransactions. And whenever you have, even if it's to like the designer's best intentions, and they say it's not going to affect, you know, even if they say it and they make the game in such a way that it's not going to affect like the actual structure of the game, you will still be like guaranteed, you'll still be playing that with that in the back of your mind, you know. I think it's the same with a lot of free to play games on mobile, that if you play more than a few of those, it comes a point where it's like you're waiting for the paywall to come down, so that impairs your enjoyment of any enjoyment that you would get from the game. And you're playing it with this constant thing of, am I just not good enough for it? No, it's because like the fucking developers made it this way, so I'd spend more money. And so it gives you a sour impression right off the bat, I think. So I hope this fucking, I hope it dies a death. I think it's terrible.
Yeah, it's really sad for me because like, I'm completely excited for Shadow of War and I'm still going to get it, but I'm not going to put any money into the transaction part of it. And, there's kind of a point, like, back to what you were talking about, how you just don't have the time and things like that. Like, if you can buy very specific things, like if you can buy, XP boosts, or even like very specific armor or something like that, I'd go like, eh, I don't like it, but okay, some people might need it. But the,
well, if it's a very specific armor, you can sort of almost look at it as like a semi DLC type thing,
right. But the problem I have here is that like these are they've been labeled as, you know, just loot crates, so it's going to be random things you can get in there, which is just going to trigger like gambling tendencies, and that's never a good thing, I don't think. Even way back in Dead Space 3, like, people railed against the company for putting microtransactions in there, but at the same time, like, it was still like you would buy very specific resources to craft whatever weapons you wanted. It wasn't like a random factor thrown in.
This was, I mean, like, there's been, that they're building off of, I guess, or they have to be aware of the legal precedent that already exists. You know, like in Japan, there are very strict rules about, you know, they're called gacha systems because it's like getting a toy from the gacha machine, right? And there's very strict rules. They used to be, a system in a lot of popular free-to-play games called Complete Gacha, which would be like you would get like these loot crates or whatever, and you pay money to get these loot crates, but you would get an extra bonus if like the drop you got from these, you know, they would come in sets, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like complete a whole set and then you get an extra bonus, you know, and that like fell foul of gambling laws. And so that concept is banned here. Mm-hmm. So like there's, it can get sticky, from a legal perspective as well.
Yeah, there's been some stuff out of China recently with some of the Blizzard games like Overwatch and Hearthstone, where the government basically forced them to reveal the drop rates for the rarities and stuff, because it was like against Chinese law to not release that information. Like, they didn't care about the fact it was a random stuff, but you just have to inform people what the chances are of getting the random things.
I mean, the There's ways, right? I mean, like, you know, I joke about the, hey, it's going to be $30, isn't it, kind of thing. And it is gross that it's $60 with like this free to play like mechanic strapped onto it. But, you could potentially argue that they might be watching some of the data on this, seeing how many of the the whales, you know, because they assume that people like Chad, you know, most people are going to be people like Chad that just buy the game and don't put money into it. But there are going to be people that buy the game, put a ton more money into it. And that if they kind of think that that's their sort of viable, you know, they call it like, you know, whatever, they call it the minimum viable product or something like that, right? You know, when they see sort of one line surpass the other, then they might say, well, it's okay. So, you know, I mean, like that, it may be that Shadow of War goes on sale quicker than most other games or something. It might be that they go, oh, hey, you know, flash sale and it's only like $10, you know, by the end of the year, for example. But the other flip side to that is that it's very difficult to do that in a single player game. It's not just a single player game, but that it's a finite experience, right? It's got a set beginning, middle, and an end to it. There is an end to that game, I presume, which is kind of counter to like the mobile philosophy, and is counter to the free-to-play philosophy, because as soon as somebody finishes the video game, well, then they're not going to spend any more money. So there's, you know, there's the worry that should this become commonplace, then it's the further death of all narrative in video game, I guess. You know, or that potentially you either have games that like Tacoma, which are 2-hour narratives, that cost a lot of money, or games that cost no money, but you know, I mean, you just never finish them. That is the biggest thing for me with free to play games, is that after free-to-play mobile games, most mobile games, you know, I play for them for a bit and I enjoy them, but what actually stops me playing is me going, well, actually, what's the fucking point? Because there isn't an end to this. You know, it's like, oh, I beat this level, but then there's always going to be like the next one. You know, there's just no point to finishing it.
So then, like your ideal free-to-play game would be something more like Mario Run, where you get like some levels, but there's a set number of levels and you can just buy everything.
I mean, that's a demo, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's the thing. I had no problem. You know, I unlocked the full version of Mario 1 because like that is, you know, that's what was silly. The uproar of people being upset that cost money was ridiculous to me. I mean, that was just, you're downloading a free demo, then you're paying for the full game unlock. I have no problem. I have no qualms with that. Mm. Yeah.
So, like I said, like certain kinds of microtransactions, I can see why they would be there. I wouldn't partake of them, but still not a fan overall, especially when it comes down to randomized loot. But let's move on to another kind of system that's been thrown into a game that's causing some controversy, and that's with Ninja Theory's Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which has I'm not even sure this is really extant, like if it's actually taken place with anyone's save, because the controversial thing that's going on is that Hellblade warns you at the beginning of the game that if you die too many times in the game, it may just up and erase your game save, and like the most extreme form of permadeath. So there's been a lot of articles out since that was first announced, and some people are saying, well, just kind of to get this going, there's a fight in the beginning of the game, no spoilers or anything, but after the fight, Senua is apparently she's got like this little rot on her hands, and it slowly spreads up and up and up and up her arm, and it said that when it hits her head, then that's basically game over. I've been reading stories that various people they've died like 8 times in the game, and it just goes up to her shoulder. This is a very short game, by the way, 6 to 8 hours.
I had four.
Okay. Maybe those are like
not long points. Either way.
But yeah. But anyway, like eight deaths, and that just got up to the shoulder. I've also heard of cases where people just put it to the test, like just did a little trial run where they just died over and over and over and over and over, and their save was never actually deleted. Those stories in particular have just been on PC, so I don't know if there's like a difference in the unit you play it on. Right. Could be different on PS4. So that's, I think it's an interesting system. A lot of people are understandably very upset at the very idea that, that a game would delete your save.
I think like the one of the first things I saw on the day when this was news was like somebody saying, well, this is actually like every game was like this 20 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what every game was.
You have lives when you're out of lives.
When
you start over.
Right. And furthermore, you had to beat it all in one sitting. You know, you couldn't turn.
Yeah. Things. Contra.
I think like the brouhaha. Was not so much that this was a system that they had in there, but that it was a thing that nobody, that they hadn't talked about, and that they were very secretive, Ninja, they were very secretive about the game in
That's
general
true.
leading up to it. So they never put it out there that this game that has this system. And a lot of the review code was not late, but it was one of those things where it came back, you know, it came to reviewers just as the game was coming out and what have you. And so the fuss has been, I think, primarily among people that pre-ordered the game, not knowing what it is really. And then getting upset that, I didn't, you know, this isn't what I signed on for.
Begs the question.
But yeah, more for you. Right?
Why did you pre-order a game that you don't know anything about?
Stop it.
No. Bad consumer.
I mean, unless it's something like Final Fantasy 15, where you pretty much know what you're getting into with that. Like, I can possibly pre-ordering that.
Fucking FIFA. You know what FIFA is. It's not going to be, suddenly this year it's about, you know, curling.
but I mean, to that point, like, I wouldn't even trust that, because first off, Final Fantasy, every Final Fantasy game, like, completely rewrites its own system. Obviously I wouldn't expect anything like this, but I mean, Ninja Theory is also a company that has kind of established tropes in its game.
They make super hard shit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, DMC,
Enslaved was very different, DMC, I think, certainly. Though, I mean, I didn't play Heavenly Sword, but I would say Enslaved and DMC were quite different games. But, I mean, DMC, you knew what you were getting into because it was fucking DMC, right?
Yeah. Although everybody hated that for just no reason whatsoever.
It's fucking stupid one. I mean, like, Enslaved was kind of more of a narrative thing. I don't know, maybe Heavenly Sword was like that. I don't know. But I mean, the it's still like an action game, right? I mean, like, that aspect of it is kind of the same. But like, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think it seems like a cool game, and it's cool to have the opposite of the Shadow of War effect, where it's like this short, very lavishly produced AAA production, but it's like $30 or something like that. So that's fucking brilliant. So to bring those two worlds together, if you're that upset, if you put $30 down to pre-order this game and you're upset that you died too many times and it deletes your save, well, why not put a little bit of a microtransaction in there and save for another $10? And your save won't get deleted after all.
That's right. I mean, just pre-order culture. Like, I was so upset recently with the PSN market because they had that, I forget what it was called, just like 100% digital or something. And I thought, oh, great, this is a sale on digital-only games. That's pretty cool. I go in there, everything, well, not everything, but like 70% of the stuff in there was just like, save money on this pre-order for a digital game from some indie studio. And it's like, first off, not going to pre-order. Second off, these are all like indie studios, which is fine, but like, you know, this is more of you don't know what to expect because indie studios are always taking risks. And because they're indie, like, you know, you might come across some buggy games out there. But, yeah, so like, here's a sale on all these pre-orders. Get them while they're hot. No thanks. I'd rather just pay the $5, the extra $5 when the game comes out.
Oh, caveat emptor.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's basically all the news that has happened this week. So we're gonna jump right into the games we have been playing. I have been playing, one extremely short game. It only took me, maybe 2 hours to complete. And also, I'm gonna start with, not really DLC, but kind of an update to Titanfall 2. Which is really weird because Chris has talked about Titanfall 2. He loved Titanfall 2. Yes.
It's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have not played the actual campaign. But Titanfall 2 just recently released a new mode. It's not a completely new mode. It was in the original Titanfall, but, it's called Frontier Defense, which is kind of a horde mode. So this is completely co-op. It only offers, a few maps, like 5, 6, I believe. You get in there and it's like, it's completely different from what you would expect in a campaign, like in the campaign, or in the multiplayer itself. Like, pilots and Titans are kind of like equally dangerous. It doesn't matter which form you are in, you can wreck some shit. But, in the horde mode here, Frontier Defense, like, there's a huge focus on being in your Titan. It's really important to be in your Titan because you're fighting about, like, in a combined, you're fighting a combined over 100 Titans throughout a single, map. So the horde mode, like, they come in specific waves. Wave one, you start out as your pilot. You go around, you kill, dudes. They usually just drop one or two Titans. You kill that, and then you have access to your Titan. Then, like, real stuff starts falling in. You get all kinds of, little robots, big robots, robots with pilots, robots without pilots, tiny little explosive robots, just robots everywhere. But, it's interesting because it's a four-player co-op kind of thing. You have to, kind of spread your Titans out, so that they can cover different kinds of threats. So you have, the North Star, which is a sniper, or you have the Scorch, which is, kind of area defense / tank, it's really a lot of fun. So, you get in your Titans with some buds and save the Harvester. So, yeah, that's one thing I've been playing.
Good. Yeah, I don't care for horde modes in general, but I especially hate bits that are in video games that are like horde modes where, something will happen, and for some convoluted reason, you have to defend against an awful lot of beasties incoming, right?
Are you telling me you didn't like Hyrule Warriors?
I didn't play Hyrule Warriors because I knew I wouldn't like Hyrule Warriors. I don't generally like those things in those games, but Titanfall 2 has a few sections like that in the in its campaign, and I didn't mind that because mainly because of like the amount of fluidity you had in motion, because like that game is so kinetic that it didn't really matter to me that there were a lot of things incoming. Because what I really hate about those things, especially those modes where it's just like, oh, you've got to set up your defenses because everybody's coming in like 10 seconds or whatever, and it feels just like, oh, fuck, I gotta go here. You know, those bits feel very rote and quite restrictive. But because you have like such a range of motion in Titanfall 2, it kind of negated that to an extent.
So. And one thing about it is you still do have that range of motion. So I did say that there's a big focus on your Titans, but at the same time, like unlike Titanfall 1, you don't have a regenerating shield for your Titans, so you kind of have to play defensively, or else they'll be destroyed. So sometimes you have to think about whether it's better to just sit your Titan down and put it in guard mode, which in guard mode it can only do like its most basic attacks. It can't do any of its special abilities. So you can do that, set it up like a turret, and then go around and wreak havoc as a pilot, or get in the Titan and actually do stuff. They added kind of a new rank system called Aegis Rank. So the more you play in this Frontier Defense mode, you can unlock new abilities. For example, the Scorch has this kind of thermite launcher, he always has the thermite launcher, but when you get certain upgrades, like the thermite, the damage caused by the thermite actually causes your special ability to charge even faster than usual, and stuff like that. So, pretty interesting. And like, I would, like any kind of game that focuses on co-op, I would say the most fun you're gonna have with it is if you have other people to play with. If you're just doing a single player co-op, that, like, no communication with the other people, because I would never turn on my mic chat on PSN. But yeah, I have 4 people to play with, so.
Sounds good. Yep. I played one game this week. It's called Fidel Dungeon Rescue, and no, Fidel Castro is not in this game.
Not yet.
Probably won't be. Yeah. So it's a quick kind of puzzle game, grid based puzzle game. It's procedurally generated. The gist so far that I can understand of the story, because there really isn't one, is your dog and your owner, who's an elderly lady, has been kidnapped into a dungeon, and you have to go rescue her. And it's just kind of an interesting little bite-sized puzzle game. The basic mechanics are you have a dog, and there's a every floor of the dungeon is a grid. I think it's something 5x5. I think they vary in size. It could be like 8x8 or 10x10, depending on the level. And you move your dog around the spaces of the grid, and there could be like monsters on the spaces, or there could be traps or switches or whatnot. And your dog has hit points. Every time you hit a monster, you lose a certain designated amount of hit points. Like, you hit like a basic spider, you lose 1 heart. If you hit like a big red spider, you'll lose 2 heart points. And if you go to 0 hearts and then hit another monster, the dog doesn't really die, but what happens is you go into like desperation mode, and a ghost starts chasing you. And if the ghost catches you, then you lose and you have to restart.
You go to that big farm upstate.
Yeah, something like that. But the interesting thing is as you go through the level, every time you move, your leash extends behind you. So like it shows the path that you've taken through the level, and you cannot cross your leash. And then, so like when you die, what happens is the little ghost pops out of the stairs you came from and starts following along your leash. And when it catches up to you, then you lose. And at any point in the game, you can go back on your leash and it will undo what you've done. So like, say you take a path through these monsters and you get stuck at a point where you have no life, but there's no health packs nearby and you're surrounded by monsters. Then you just back up through your leash. The monsters that you killed will come back. Anything that you've done will be undone. And then you can just sort of go back to a point where you were before and try a different path, try different, tactics through the level. It's pretty cool. Now that's not infinite. There is like some sort of, I don't think it's displayed, but there is a time limit to each level to where if you just take too long, the ghost will just pop out and start chasing you. Which is, like sort of indicated by there's like a little baby ghost that starts to appear by the stairs. When you start to run out of time, then you know you really have to finish the level.
Kind of Spelunky style in that.
Yeah, kind of like that. So as you kill more monsters, you can level up your dog. You can get more hearts. You can earn gold in the levels to use like little certain special abilities that cost gold to use. Like there's a bomb that'll kill all enemies in spaces around you. You can heal yourself for free at any point. There's a syringe that I haven't figured out what that does. I don't know. And there are like certain like boss levels where the puzzles are just a little bit harder, a little bit wonky, maybe a little more gimmicky. There are like levels with switches that like move the floor around, but if your leash is on a floor, then that floor won't move. There's lots of little sort of fiddly things that you can sort of figure out through that sort of lend themselves well to the puzzle game. It's really fun. It's only like $10 on Steam too, so I mean, grab it. It's really good. It's called the Fidel Dungeon Rescue.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one. I'm always a fan of puzzlers. And any puzzler that includes like its own little undo option is pretty interesting.
Especially when
it becomes like kind of a canon way of doing its own undo, that's actually pretty interesting. But, alright, so I'll talk about my last game then. It's a super short one. Even I was kind of surprised because I heard it was 4 hours and I completed it in two. And that is Theseus. So Theseus is a VR game, done by Forge Reply. I'm not sure if it's PSVR exclusive. It might be also available for Oculus. But anyway, Theseus, for those who know their mythology, is... Come on, guys.
He ran the labyrinth and killed the Minotaur.
There you go. Okay, so we have one scholar among us. Anyway, Theseus is... you take on the role of Theseus and you go through not so much of a labyrinth per se, which was kind of disappointing because, you know, like that's his whole thing, is he navigated the labyrinth. Well, I mean, he had the rope, but anyway, went in there and killed the Minotaur. So this is kind of a different take. There's a special spirit within the labyrinth, who tries to assist you. And there's some kind of, death and rebirth story going on as well, because you do tend to die a couple of times. And when you come back, like, you're in just a new body. Your old body is still, like, crippled and dead besides you. And so there's some kind of history going on there, but apparently you've been trapped in the labyrinth for quite a long time trying to escape, and the Minotaur has grown and grown and grown because it feasts on the darkness and your despair. Of course it does. And the Minotaur itself is actually just gigantic. And so instead of becoming like an actual labyrinth, I will say the corridors themselves, like I got turned around, but there's no actual maze. Like, because it's a VR game, it's chosen to go with a fly on the wall kind of perspective. So you watch from, kind of a little, overhead isometric sort of camera angle. Although it's not an isometric game, just the angle. You dash around walls, you go through, you duck, you jump, you, scale different areas, but it's all super straightforward. When the, Minotaur actually appears, you have to do a kind of, Jurassic Park T-Rex thing where, it can only detect motion. So stand still and put out any lights you have, like a torch you may be carrying. Throughout the game, there are also the spawn of the Minotaur, which apparently take the form of spiders. Because
giant man cows have spider babies.
That's how mythology works, Jason. So, the spider babies will apparently just ooze up from the muck that's all around the labyrinth, and you use your torch to set them on fire, you use your sword to kind of slash at them, and eventually they die. It's very simplistic combat. It's a very simplistic game, from start to finish. So really not that much to talk about. It does look nice. There's a lot of,
I just have a question. Like what's the point of it being in VR if it's like an isometric point of view?
It's not all the isometric point of view. Sometimes it goes over the shoulder, and I think it's just, because it's a super short game, it's really hard to kind of market like a 2-hour game to be sold, when there's not much going for it. So if you put it in a VR environment so you can look around at all the pretty colors, then at least they can say that. Like I said, the environments are all right. There's a lot of like Avatar-esque floating stones, and there's a lot of times when you teleport back to like this big blood pool area, and certain stuff goes on there, and that looked pretty nice. So it looks pretty, but there's not a whole lot of substance there. So. Yeah, like I said, you can finish the game in 2 hours. I forget what the actual price is. It's alright for 2 hours. But again, that's gonna depend on what the actual price is. So, not any replayability whatsoever. So. And that is that. So, all the games have been talked about, so let's move on to our ESRB quiz. Da-da-da-da-da.
Where's the music, Chad?
The music is, lost in post-processing. The sound engineers have told me it's gonna take another decade or so. So, look forward to that. But for now, we'll just have to do with my smooth acapella stylings. Da 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 da. Alright? Sounds good? Okay. Alright, so, this game came out in 2009. Yes, 2009. Alright. Let's go for it. Oh, I'm sorry. Ooh, let me also... where'd it go? Why do my pages always drop? Oh. Is it because I hit that red X? Is that why my pages shut down?
That seems likely.
I see. Okay. Well, I'll try to avoid that then. So this game is rated M. Came out in 2009. Go for it.
That's it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's your only hint. No, so for people who don't know, the ESRB quiz, I go to the ESRB website, pick out a game, take the descriptions that are there, chop them up into little bite-sized hints, order them as I will, from most general to very specific, and these two guys try to guess what the game is. Before I get to hint number one, which is basically giving the game away. Right. Released in 2009, rated M, hint number four, the most general hint. During the course of the game, some female characters perform suggestive taunts and poses, including opening their legs or gyrating their hips. The camera occasionally pans close up on breasts as they are jiggling. Strong profanity, e.g. fuck, shit, and asshole, can be heard throughout the dialogue.
2009, huh?
2009.
Would that make this a PS3 game?
It does appear on the PS3.
I'm going to say Mortal Kombat. 2012.
You can't just say Mortal Kombat. You have to say Mortal Kombat.
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta drag out the combat longer. 2009.
You at least have to enunciate the K in combat.
Every week, I just feel like I want to say GTA. Like, every week.
And that's why it will never be GTA.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I can't say it because it's never going to be GTA.
GTA is like the lupus of this quiz.
It's not lupus.
It's never lupus.
It's not Cancer House. It's never cancer. God. DOA?
DOA, Dead or Alive, it is not. It is not okay. Either of those games. So, let's move on to hint number three, getting more specific now. Players use hand-to-hand combat, magic attacks, and pistols to kill enemy creatures that often spray blood when hit. Some of the more provocative outfits are shed during battle, resulting in brief depictions of buttocks and breasts.
Devil May Cry?
Devil May Cry is a guess.
Let's see, it probably isn't, but I'm going to say Bayonetta.
It is indeed Bayonetta.
Aww.
Well done, Chris Charlton.
It's Devil May Cry. Like, it clearly isn't Devil May Cry, so it wasn't, like, it didn't come out in 2009, but I'll take a game that's nearly Devil May Cry.
I mean, did any of them come out in 2009?
No. Okay. There's a bunch of Devil May Cries.
That's right.
Yeah, but none of them came out in 2009.
Okay, so, I mean, this one, even the release date was, I was kind of waffling because it did come out in 2009, in Japan for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. It came out January 5th, 2010 in the States. So. Like five days.
Wait. You're telling me Xbox exists in Japan, Chad? Oh, that's a revelation.
Yes. But yeah, January 5th, 2010. So five days into the new year. I wasn't sure that really counts. But yes. So, Bayonetta, developed by Platinum Games, published by Sega and later Nintendo for the Wii U. The other hints, by the way, hint number two, players can perform an assortment of over-the-top finishing moves referred to as torture attacks. And number one, this is an action game in which players assume the role of an ancient witch who battles angels and demons while uncovering the mystery of her past. So, there you go. Bayonetta. Well done, Chris. Yeah. You get a prize. That was your prize. Three claps. For getting on hint number three. But anyway, we're going to finish there, but, we've talked about our games that we've already played for the week, but there are still games coming out next week. We don't have the full list because we're actually recording a lot earlier than we usually do during the week, but we do have some. So August 14th, we have StarCraft Remastered coming out for PC. So look forward to that if you're a fan of StarCraft.
Yeah, StarCraft Ghost will come out alongside it.
Yeah. Then for PC, PS4, and Xbox One, we have Agents of Mayhem, which is the new game by the Saints Row developers.
That's bad.
It looks bad because it looks like they're doing Saints Row just without Saints Row.
Without any of the self-awareness.
So next, Cities Skylines is coming to PS4. Matterfall.
People like that?
Yeah, they do, but I'm not sure if the UI will really translate well, but we'll see. Matterfall, which is Housemarque's new game, coming to PS4. That's going to be a side-scrolling shooter.
How many games are they putting out these days?
Next Machina was also theirs. I'm not sure I don't know how many teams they actually have. There are only so many voxels that they can make, right? Also for PC and PS4, Nidhogg 2. I still can't really get into that new art style that they've got, but the gameplay looks nice. For PC and PS4, the Night Trap 25th anniversary is coming out.
Yeah.
So speaking of ESRB,
I wasn't here when you guys were talking about Night Trap that one episode, and it baffles me. Like, I think you two wound up talking about Night Trap in some regard. Maybe. I felt like I wanted to reach through my earphones and shake you. Like, Minecraft was a very bad video game.
Oh, no. I believe I said that it was universally considered a bad game, but it was still
it's
instrumental.
Like the epitome of bad game.
Yeah, but it was still instrumental in, like, the formation of the ESRB. Like, because they cherry picked.
I honestly can't remember the exact things that you guys said, but I think as well you were probably a little bit more generous. In terms of depicting how the quality of the game, but also the amount of things you did in it.
I mean, that's certainly possible, just simply because I've never played the game, so I tend to give games the benefit of the doubt.
You can make like a walkthrough of Night Trap that is like about 100, you could fit it in a tweet because it's all it is timestamps and numbers,
right?
Like, it's 4 seconds, camera 6,
yeah,
10 seconds, camera 8, you know. And the thing is, like, if you want to actually beat the game, you don't see any of the story.
If you watch
any of the story elements, then you're not watching like the shit you need to do to actually beat the game. So if you beat the game, you have no idea what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing with like the ESRB. They were showing like what happens when you fail at the game. The girls getting like tortured and kidnapped. They're like, this is the point of the game.
Very tame manner.
Well, certainly tame by today's standards, but
by any standards.
Oh, really?
It was tame by like 1988 standards. I think that was it. Actually, I think like you guys were talking about it it really was quite mature. It is very, very, very not.
All right. So let's see, more games that we have coming out. We have Observer, which is new game by the team that made Layers of Fear. Some people seem to like that. Mostly mixed, but for nostalgia fans, Sonic Mania is coming to PC, Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Next, Sudden Strike 4 is coming to PS4. It's funny because Sudden Strike 4 is actually the fifth Sudden Strike game. According to this brief little wiki that I pulled up. And the last one is The Pillars of the Earth, Book 1: From the Ashes. for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Maybe that'll be just like, have I already forgotten? Payback's a Bolt. What was that?
Yeah, right. Should we take like hot bets? What's the over and under of like book run of this epic series not having another book in it?
Odds are pretty good. Pretty good, considering I've literally never heard of this.
Like Half-Life 2 Episode 3 and like Pillars of whatever fucking bullshit book 2. Whatever happened?
Yeah. All right, and like I said, there will be other games, but we don't have our full list. But in the meantime, you can go on over to our website at kaijupop.com, where we have videos, reviews. Chris last week put up a little more than last week put up his 30-year. History of stuff that happens in August dealing with games. You can also follow us on social media sites. We are on youtube.com/kaijupop and twitter.com/kaijupop. Or you can also follow us personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
I'm at ReasonJP.
And I'm at Gibsaurus.
And we want to thank you guys for listening, liking, subscribing, and doing all that. Thank you guys very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
See you.